Welcome to our service on Sunday, the 17th of May 2020, the sixth week of Easter here in Bedhampton, Hampshire, England. My name is Max. I am the rector, the church leader, that is, for Bedhampton Parish. And whether you would join us normally on a Sunday or whether you're dropping in for the first time, you are most welcome as we gather to worship our God. Today we are looking, or we're continuing to look, at the foundations of our Christian faith as we ask the question, why and how should I pray? There's a follow-on video from this on our website, and you'll be most welcome to view that and join us if you want to on our Wednesday night discussion group as we look at that question once more. Just send me an email or contact me by phone to be part of that group. In addition to that Wednesday group, we are also opening the Rector's House. Well, at least virtually we're opening the Rector's House. Starting this Wednesday, I will open up a virtual gathering for us to join in together. Just a gathering to catch up with one another, to see how we're doing. Have a virtual cup of tea together. I'm sure that you'll sit in your room with your cup of tea and I in mine with my cup of tea or coffee. And if you want to be part of that, you can either go to the website and find out how to join in, or just give me a phone call. You don't actually need a computer. Yes, if you've got a computer, you can dial in and join us that way. But if you just want to phone in, you can do that as well. More details about how to do that on this week's news sheet, which you should have got by email, or just phone me and find out about that. And another thing I wanted to say to you, these gatherings are not all about the rector. We'd love for you to join in. That's why we have different people doing readings. We have different people preaching. And that's why we have different people praying. This is about us as a church community worshipping our God together. So if you want to be part of that, if you want to do a reading perhaps, or do a worship song even, then get in touch with me and let me know. And we will make sure that happens. Again, if you don't know how to do a video, that's okay. We can work our way around that. But just get in touch. Be part of this community as we gather as one body under God to worship Him. Which is, of course, exactly what we're here to do today. So before we begin in earnest, let's take a moment just to center ourselves. Just to come before our God. If it helps you, why don't you close your eyes for a moment? And maybe even hold your hands out as though you're receiving a gift from God, which is exactly what you are doing. Let's take a moment to do that just now. Let us, in our minds, invite the Holy Spirit. Just take a moment to invite Him where you are. Perhaps picture Jesus with you right now. And as Jesus sits with you or stands with you where you are right now, as His Holy Spirit is with you, bring to mind your concerns from the week. Package them up and just in your mind, hand them to Jesus. Hand them over to God. Bring to mind perhaps the joys from the week. Again, give them to Jesus. Show Him your excitement. And now just for a moment, rest with Jesus as He greets you. Hear these words of truth from Zephaniah 3:17 as God speaks to His people. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. those words are as true for you today as they were for God's people all those years ago. And as he rejoices over you and I with singing, so we respond in much the same way, as we rejoice over him with singing. As Roger leads us in the song, Be Still. Thank Roger for leading us in that sung worship. It's delightful to have our normal leaders of our sung worship lead us even when we can't physically be together. Jesus, of course, loves us beyond measure, as we've just heard already. But part of what Jesus did for us was he died for our sins, for our mistakes, such that when we turn away from them and walk away from them, when we repent of them, which means to turn away, we are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so now let's take a moment just to come before him and bring before him the mess of our life, sometimes the mistakes that we've had, knowing that he's keen to forgive us. I will say some words and you can respond as the words come on the screen. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. He has not dealt us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy upon those who fear him. Let's take a moment just to reflect on our past life, the last few weeks perhaps, the areas where we've not loved others as God would have us love others, the areas perhaps where we have fallen short of His perfect holiness. Let's pause to do that, knowing He's keen to forgive us. And we say these words together. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy upon us. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has set our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so is the Lord merciful towards those who fear Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Amen. And now we know that we are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have repented, turned away from our sins and our mistakes, turned to Jesus, and we are forgiven. Now let's move on into holiness with God. We're going to now hear our first reading from Neville.
This reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Neville. And now Susie's mum, Celia, read from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 14 as our second Bible read.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
So today we have acknowledged that God is with us. We have heard from the scriptures, the Bible. We have made our confession. We have said sorry to God. And now I'm delighted that Vanda is going to break open God's word and bring us our sermon for today.
Greetings from Farlington. This week's theme is from Alpha, and it's why and how we should pray. I'm ordained, and you may well think that I have my prayer life sorted. No. I had never prayed seriously or otherwise before I became a Christian. I didn't know what prayer was, and actually, I didn't want to know. I wasn't even aware that there was a spiritual world, let alone a Holy Spirit, who comes from God, who could live in me, teach me, guide me, and pray in me and through me. In fact, I remember with sadness a couple of occasions where I had heard sincere prayer from genuine, loving Christian believers and thought to myself that they were really weird. 32 years on, I can tell you that I do pray, and if people think I'm weird, then I can honestly say it's great being weird. My prayer life has changed and developed in various ways over the years. I've experimented with different methods. I have really struggled at times, and it has seemed like I was walking in a desert, a dry and weary land. And at other times, although rare, I have thought I was in heaven itself. But in all that time, I can see that God has always been with me. Prayer, for me, like my faith, is a life journey towards God. But I have learned over the years that if God feels far away, it may be because I have moved away from him for whatever reason. As Jesus told Peter before he washed his feet at the Last Supper, "You have been made clean, but the dirt of each day needs to be washed away." What is of the utmost importance is that we realise that God desires a close relationship with us because he loves us, and he knows that when we live life apart from him, we will never find peace and fulfilment. We were created for a relationship with him. And St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, in God." The Christian faith is first and foremost a personal relationship with God. Now, how do we develop a relationship with anyone? We spend time with them. We find out who they are and whether they are worth spending time with. Prayer is a discipline, and like every other skill, needs to be learned and practiced until it becomes as natural as breathing. And like any other relationship, it needs time and working at. In normal times, we all lead such busy lives, even those of us who are retired. But any time set apart to be with God in prayer will be beneficial to us, and the rewards are priceless. We can find out who God is by finding out about Jesus. God sent Jesus to show us what he is like. How can we know Jesus? By reading God's word, the Bible, and we will learn more about that next week, but also by praying. These two activities are of supreme importance if we want to grow and mature as Christians. Our reading from the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. They saw him day after day and many times at night praying in a solitary place on his own. They saw that Jesus' perfect life, love, and power flowed from his intimate relationship with God his Father, and they wanted to be like him. And I wonder, do we want to be like Jesus? With time and with practice, we, like St. Paul in our reading, will be able to acknowledge that God is always present, always listening, always answering, and always doing what is best. He's always available, and he waits for us to approach him. He's not distant and waiting for us to do something wrong, as some have believed. He loves us and desires a relationship with each one of us if we are prepared to seek him. By his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has opened the way for us to have that personal, intimate relationship with God our Father, enabled by the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us when we accept Jesus as our Saviour. He has given us the means by which we can approach God without fear and at any time. Prayer, in simple terms, is conversation with our loving Heavenly Father. We don't need to go into a church building to be with Him, but I know that some may find that helpful, and I'm talking about an empty church, not when we meet for corporate worship. We can pray to Him from anywhere and about absolutely anything. It is our heart attitude that matters to God. We won't always have an immediate or even a positive answer to prayers, but we need to persevere and to trust that our loving God will always do things according to His goodwill and purpose. If we consider ourselves followers of Jesus, then we must pray. Jesus once said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We need God's strength and courage to live this life every day. Our circumstances at times could easily defeat us if we are not abiding in Christ. I'm sure there will be many people who during this pandemic will be saying that if there is a God, how could He let this happen? But God didn't send this virus. Rather, it's a product of our fallen and sinful world. God is with us in this crisis. We heard in our reading from Philippians, the Lord is near. And He has also promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." As Christians, we have the amazing privilege of taking everything to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And we have the sure knowledge that He will answer. We can speak to Him about anything. He knows us intimately. He knew us before we were born. He saw us when we were being formed in the womb. He has loved us from the beginning of time. May our response to our Father's amazing love that we see in Jesus cause us to draw ever close to Him as unafraid, loving, and grateful children. In over 30 years of the Christian life, I have no reason to doubt God's love and care. And He has been with me through all the suffering and trials of this life. And so He is with you. Max Lucado, a pastor and a Christian writer, he says this: "Our prayer may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference." So, what are we waiting for? Let's get praying.
"Let's get praying," Vanda challenged us. And she didn't even know what I was about to say either. You see, this coming week, starting on Thursday, I am going to start doing daily prayer at 9 a.m. in the morning. The archbishops have challenged the world once again this year to pray for thy kingdom to come, for God's kingdom to come. And so this Thursday at 9 a.m, I will be praying virtually. So you can join us by phone, you can join us by Zoom, on Facebook, on YouTube. You can find out all that information either by looking at the news sheet you would have got by email or on the internet on our website. But you don't need a computer, as I said, you can even phone in. But whatever we do, let us pray this Thursday. Even if you aren't joining us virtually, let us pray for God's kingdom to come. I was reading a sermon this week by a chap from several hundred years ago, bemoaning the fact that the church doesn't pray anymore, bemoaning the fact that England has turned away from prayer to God. And it reminded me that actually there's nothing new under the sun. But actually, Charles Spurgeon, that preacher from several hundred years ago, said that the answer was to turn to Jesus, to look at Jesus, and to turn to prayer. So why don't you do that with me this Thursday as we join under the banner of Thy Kingdom Come and pray together. As I said, more details on the website, or simply give me a phone call if you want to find out how to be part of that. But prayer is exactly what we're going to do right now, as Sandra brings us our prayers for this week.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you have given us a wonderful world to live in. You have given us life and all that we need. Help us not to exploit your gifts given freely to us. We give you thanks and praise for beauty and wonder, the wonder of creation, and for this spring day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation and for the world as we continue to readjust our lives to maintain protection from the spread of the coronavirus. At this crucial time, give wisdom and discernment to our political leaders and scientists as they face uncertainty and unknown paths. We thank you for the dedication of our NHS staff and all key workers, both within hospitals and in the community. We continue to pray for those nations whose people, whilst inflicted by the virus, have to endure hostility and mayhem as well, caused through war, terrorism, and natural disaster. Particularly today, we think of the people of Syria and Afghanistan. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. During the time of being in our homes, we rejoice in the love and protection we have received from our loved ones. But we ask your blessing on all who are struggling with loneliness, struggling with their relationships, or who suffer from poverty or violence within their homes. Give blessings and strength to those within our community who bring help to others. We pray for the many children of our parish, mostly still confined at home, and for their parents and carers. We lift them to you, Lord, especially with a new uncertainty of when and who will return to school. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are weary in body, mind, and soul. Renew their strength and refresh their spirit. We pray too for the people who are in need of your healing and are mentioned in the weekly sheet, and also for the families of those who have recently died. In a moment of quiet, we pray for those dear to our own hearts. And finally, Lord, give us renewed hope today through the message of Easter. You rose from the dead. The clouds of darkness were dispelled, and faith began to shoot again amongst your disciples. Your love could not be defeated. May that truth turn our doubt to faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we bring those prayers and all of our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us as we use the modern translation of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And of course, to see God's kingdom come is to see love come. Because God said that actually the greatest thing to do is to love people and to love him. And our last song of worship together is a song that talks about that love. Love is his word. As we come to the end of our time here together today, there is so much that I have wanted to communicate to you. I have spoken of the discussion group on Wednesday night, and do get in touch if you want to be part of that discussion group as we look at this week's sermon and this week's video from the foundations of our faith. I've spoken about the fact that Thy Kingdom Come starts on Thursday. And again, get in touch if you want to know how to join in with that. But do join me in prayer, whether you join me virtually or whether you sit in your home and pray. And I've spoken about the open house that we're going to have as well on Wednesday mornings. But my desire for you this week is, yes, that you join in with all of that. But actually, that as you go day by day, wherever you are, whether that's at home, isolated, or getting out a little bit now, that Jesus goes with you. That you know that he's not just here today, but he walks with you as you go. And you can pray to him. And as I often say, if you have to call it prayer, but just chat with him. Because actually that is what he wants to do with you. He wants to know that you're there. He wants you to know that he's there for you. And so as we truly do finish our time here together, let's bring to mind those who we would normally meet with on a Sunday morning. Whether you are a regular at the 9:30, whether you're a regular at the 11 or the 8 o'clock. Indeed, actually, even if you don't normally attend a church building on a Sunday morning, bring to mind those that you love. Bring to mind those who know Jesus that you worship with. And as we finish, let's bless each other with the grace. And so the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Have a fantastic week. Do get in touch. Let us know how you're doing. But most of all, walk with Jesus this week.
Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy